Mardavam Hri Chapalam Tejakshama Jutir Shaucham Adroho Nati Manita Pavanti Sampadam Daivim Abhijatasya Bharata. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, fearlessness, purification of one's existence, cultivation of spiritual knowledge, charity, self-control, performance of sacrifice, study of the Vedas, austerity, simplicity, non-violence, truthfulness, freedom from anger, renunciation, tranquility, aversion to fault-finding, compassion for all living entities, freedom from covetousness, gentleness, modesty, steady determination, vigor, forgiveness, fortitude, cleanliness, and freedom from envy and from the passion for honor. These transcendental qualities, O son of Bharata, belong to godly men endowed with divine nature. Text 4. Dambo darpo bimanascha krodha parushamevacha agyanam cha bijatasya parta sampadam asurim. Translation. Pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness, and ignorance, these qualities belong to those of demoniac nature, O son of Pritha. Text 5. Daivi sampadvi mokshaya nibandha surimata mashucha sampadam daivim abhijato sipandava. Translation. The transcendental qualities are conducive to liberation, whereas the demoniac qualities make for bondage. Do not worry, O son of Pandu, for you are born with the divine qualities. And finally, text 6. Dvau bhuta sargo lokesmin daiva asura evacha daivo vistarashak prokta asuram partha meshunu. Translation. O son of Pritha, in this world there are two kinds of created beings. One is called the divine and the other demoniac. I have already explained to you at length the divine qualities. Now hear from me of the demoniac. Going back to text 16. There are two classes of beings, the fallible and the infallible. In the material world, every living entity is fallible. And in the spiritual world, every living entity is called infallible. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As already explained, the Lord in His incarnation as Vyasadeva compiled the Vedanta Sutra. Here the Lord is giving in summary the contents of the Vedanta Sutra. He says that the living entities, who are innumerable, can be divided into two classes, the fallible and the infallible. The living entities are eternally separated parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When they are in contact with the material world, they are called Jiva Bhuta. And the Sanskrit words given here, Kshara, Sarvani, Bhutani, mean that they are fallible. Those who are in oneness with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, are called infallible. Oneness does not mean that they have no individuality, but that there is no disunity. They're all agreeable to the purpose of the creation. Of course, in the spiritual world, there is no such thing as creation. But since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in the Vedanta Sutra, is the source of all emanations, that conception is explained. According to the statement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, there are two classes of living entities. The Vedas give evidence of this, so there is no doubt about it. The living entities who are struggling in this world with the mind and five senses have their material bodies, which are changing. As long as a living entity is conditioned, His body changes due to contact with matter. Matter is changing, so the living entity appears to be changing. But in the spiritual world, the body is not made of matter. Therefore, there is no change. In the material world, the living entity undergoes six changes: birth, growth, duration, reproduction, then dwindling and vanishing. These are the changes of the material body. But in the spiritual world, the body does not change. There is no old age. There is no birth. There is no death. There all exists in oneness, kshara sarvani bhutani. Any living entity who has come in contact with matter, beginning from the first created being Brahma, down to a small ant, is changing its body. Therefore, they are all fallible. In the spiritual world, however, they are always liberated in oneness. So this term, akshara, fallible or infallible, kshara, sometimes Srila Prabhupada used the word fallible to mean fallible, one who can fall down, and infallible as one who cannot fall down. We usually use the term fallible to mean one who's perfect, or fallible, one who can make mistakes, and infallible is one who does not make mistakes. Of course, the biggest mistake is to fall down from the spiritual world. And Krishna cannot fall down. And the pure devotees who are liberated in the spiritual world, as described here, they're also infallible in that they do not fall down, and infallible in that they do not make mistakes. They're not subject to illusion. They're not full of imperfect senses and a tendency to cheat. So in that sense, they're infallible. Not that they're infallible in the sense that they're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the mistake of the impersonalists. They want to be infallible, but they cannot be... Well, we find out in the next verse. Let's read the next verse. Besides these two, there is the greatest living personality, the Supreme Soul, the imperishable Lord Himself, who has entered the three worlds and is maintaining them. But there's the difference. There's fallible and infallible souls, or Nityabhada and Nityamukta. Nityabhada means eternally or ever conditioned, and Nityamukta means ever free and liberated. But besides these two, there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not in this category of the living entities. When the living entity is in the material, when he's in touch with the material energy, is called Jiva-bhuta. And when he's in touch with the spiritual energy, then he's called Brahma-bhuta. Brahma-bhuta prasanatma na shochati na kangchati samaksaveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. When he's on that liberated platform, he's no longer subjected to birth, death, old age, and disease, and all the changes. The changes are mentioned here in the purport, the changes of the body. This body is a troublesome thing because it's always changing. No one likes that, to have to change bodies. If you ask someone, are you willing to change your body now? Do you mind if you die? They say, no, I don't want to die. I don't. Even if they believe they're eternal, it's an inconvenience to be changing the body. Especially when the body deteriorates. It's not that it gets better. It's not that as you get older. I was telling one devotee the other day, you know what you have to look forward to? You know what is waiting for us? And he said, what? And I said, cancer. You know, just heard yesterday I was speaking with one devotee. He said, yes, his friend has bone cancer, marrow cancer, all kinds of cancer and everything. This material world is meant to inflict, to give us some awakening, for us to wake up Otherwise, we have to continue. And the poor living entities, they get lower and lower bodies where they're less and less conscious of what's going on, to the point where it's like these bugs, they don't even think about who they are or what's the goal of life. It's just anamoya, just get some food, maybe a little pranamoya, let me protect myself, that's all. Eat and continuing with text 18. Because I am transcendental, beyond both the fallible and the infallible, and because I am the greatest, I am celebrated both in this world and in the Vedas as that Supreme Person. While Krishna says he's the greatest, others have also claimed that they were the greatest, but we see that they were defeated. Whereas Krishna has never been defeated. He's still the undefeated, reigning supreme. No one has defeated him. And this has been going on since time immemorial. He's ajita, unconquerable. No one can conquer. It doesn't matter how big the army is. When Jarasandha attacked Krishna, he attacked with his whole army. And Krishna single-handedly defeated the whole army, dispatched them all. And then Jarasandha went back. Krishna didn't kill him. He went back and he got another huge army. And he tried 17 times he tried this. And every time the same thing happened. Krishna defeated the whole army. Now, there's never been any history of any one person defeating a whole army like that 17 times. Continuing, text 19. Whoever knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without doubting, is the knower of everything. He therefore engages himself in full devotional service to me, O son of Bharata. So without doubting, why should you doubt that Krishna is the Supreme? Who else is the Supreme? And you may say, well, someone doubts. How can I believe these stories? Putana witch, 8 miles long. Oh, it's too much for me. I can't. All right. So, remain here in the material world and watch Batman and Spider-Man and enjoy all these wonderful things that you think are enjoyable instead of hearing about Krishna's reality of wonderful activities. If we can conceive of something so extraordinary, it's like Superman used to. He can go so fast, faster than a bullet. So if we can conceive of such things, then why can't God manifest? Why can't he have those qualities? The fact that we imagine something gives some indication of its existence. We can imagine that a person can fly without... we all were raised, at least in my generation, we were all raised on Superman. So we like that idea that he could fly without... What did that mean? That meant he had some supernatural powers. Well, there are such persons who have these powers. And certainly God himself, he has much more powers. So why should we doubt? And if we doubt, you know what we should do? We should hear. Go on reading. Reading these books again and again until your doubts are removed. Hear from those who are free from doubts. Just like the commentaries on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Who are these persons giving commentaries? Are they just some lightweight, frivolous people? No. Jiva Goswami, Sridhar Swami, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. Very heavyweight, sober personalities who have given their lives to the service of Krishna. And they accept every single syllable of the Bhagavatam. They don't doubt even one syllable. As soon as you doubt the Bhagavatam, you're fallen. You immediately know you're in a fallen state. You should understand, I'm diseased. The doubting of the Bhagavatam, doubting of Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a disease. And this material world is spreading that disease like an epidemic. Now people are becoming more and more doubtful. Formerly, everyone accepted practically that there was God. Even in this country, the whole country, the nation was based, one nation under God. You know, our country, 'tis of thee. God. In other words, it was based on that we came here because we want to worship God. But now, where's God? You don't see God anymore. More and more, you simply see sinful activities on all fronts. That's become the American way. Prabhupada said, yes, they have this country, and it's based on the principle, in God we trust. But how can you trust God if you don't know who God is? First you have to know who God is, then talk about trusting Him. So if you ask them, who is God? And they say, they have no idea, then they have no trust either. If you trust God, as Prabhupada, or as Krishna explained, then you will be engaged in pure devotional service. If you're free from doubt, then you'll engage in His service. And if you're not free from doubt, then your service will not be uninterrupted. Ahoituki apratiyata. Devotional service is meant to be without any breaks, just constantly. That's the nature of the soul. That's the healthy state of the soul. And when the soul doesn't engage in devotional service, he's diseased. Just like no one wants disease, is it? No one says, yes, I'd like to be healthy this year, but next year I'm hoping I get some virulent disease like cancer or something, just for some variety. You know, I'd like to get some really terrible disease, maybe heart attack. No one wants disease. Similarly, in spiritual life, we shouldn't want to become diseased by doubting Krishna or by not engaging in devotional service all the time. Prabhupada gave the perfect example of someone who is always engaged in devotional service. Not only Srila Prabhupada, but all the acharyas. Look at the six Goswamis. Shankha Purvaka Namagana Natibi Kala Vasani Kuto. They're always chanting on their beads, counting. Shankha means counting. Nidra Hara Vihara Kari Vijito Chatyanta Dino Chayo. Day and night, they were engaged in devotional service, giving up sleeping, giving up eating, giving up mating, defending. Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipano Saddharma Sangstapako Lokanam Itakarano Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanyakaro. Always reading books, writing books, preaching, giving the kindness to all living entities. This is the Krishna consciousness movement. It's not for a comfortable situation. Of course, a devotee gets the most comfortable situation because he's free from birth, death, old age, and disease, free from all anxiety, free from illusion, free from ignorance, free from darkness. But the point is, he doesn't try for that. He gets it automatically. He tries to work very hard for Krishna. That is the business of the Krishna conscious person, to serve Krishna with all of his heart and soul. Love thy father with all thy heart and all thy soul. That's what Jesus said. Actually, if one simply does that and nothing else, he'll be taken care of completely. He doesn't have to worry about how he's going to even eat. Just like a child. Does a child worry, little infant, does he worry how he's going to eat? No. His parents take care of that. So similarly, Krishna takes care of all the living entities. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam jovididati kaman. He's supplying the necessities. Text 20. This is the most confidential part of the Vedic scriptures. What? Let's read it again. Let's read it together. Number 19. Whoever knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without doubting, is the knower of everything. He therefore engages himself in full devotional service to me, O Son of Bharat. And Krishna says, this is the most confidential part of the Vedic scriptures, O sinless one, and it is disclosed now by me. So simple. It's not like the Mayavadis are always looking for some mystical, something that's unspoken. The Mayavadis are very expert. Whatever the scriptures say, they're not interested. They're interested in what's in between the lines, what wasn't spoken. That's the primary thing about a speculator. You ask him how you like the scriptures, and he'll ask some question. Well, what wasn't said? Instead, a devotee, he likes to hear what was said. He concentrates on what Krishna did say, not what he didn't say. The impersonalists are looking for there was an impersonalist commentator on Bhagavad Gita. So where Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me, thus you will come to me without fail, etc. So he says, yes, it is not to Krishna that we must surrender, but to the unborn, unmanifest within him. So that wasn't stated. But he wanted to give his own special speculative realization. This is the nature of the speculators. They can't stand just to accept the authority of Krishna or the Vaishnavas. It's against their nature. Whatever the authorities say, they will find something different. And therefore, one Muni always opposes another Muni. They never can come to any conclusion because they're always competing. Whereas the Vaishnavas, they're always in agreement. Or as Prabhupada said in the purport, always in harmony with the Lord. That's real oneness. Real oneness means to be in harmony with the Lord. Not to be the Lord. You can't become God, but become one with Him in the same mission. Now chapter 16, the divine and demoniac natures. First of all, we're going to hear about these divine nature. These qualities are adored all over the world. Even though this world is so fallen, still there's some higher sentiment, and they appreciate when someone's fearless, when someone's pure in his existence, like Mother Teresa, they consider her very pure. And she was, so therefore they appreciate still, they give her some honor. Or cultivation of spiritual knowledge. Someone who knows the scriptures is still highly regarded. For example, in India, if you go anywhere and you chant some shlokas in Sanskrit, the people will bow down and touch your feet. They are so impressed if you know even some Sanskrit verses. Someone who knows Sanskrit verses or Bhagavad Gita, he has some spiritual knowledge. And then if he can explain it, it's even more. It is said, Chanakya Pandit says, that a king is honored in his kingdom. But when he goes outside of his kingdom, he's not so honored. Nobody, for example, if the king of Switzerland, or what is it, the prime minister of Switzerland comes in, we don't care so much. Or the king of Zaire. No, in Zaire he's honored because he's in charge. But here he has no power. But, Chanakya Pandit says, a learned person, wherever he goes, he's honored.
One who has transcendental knowledge, he's honored everywhere. In the upper planetary systems, lower, everywhere, Narad Muni is honored. And his followers, those who have transcendental knowledge. So if you gain transcendental knowledge, it doesn't matter which country you're in, which universe you're in, which age you're in, what the people are. If you have transcendental knowledge, it will be appreciated because these are good qualities. Then, divine qualities. Next one, charity. Yes. Just like Nobel, Swedish man, he had a lot of money. So he left this Nobel Prize. They're very charitable. Gives a lot of money to all these people. So he's honored. Still, Rockefeller, now Gates, he has some fund for trust, for foundation, for giving. People appreciate when someone is charitable. Then self-control, it's appreciated. If someone can control themselves and doesn't lose himself, his senses, and if he's moral person, is respected. Self-control, doesn't become angry, for example. Then performance of sacrifice. Study of the Vedas, austerity, simplicity, non-violence. Gandhi is so popular, even though his non-violence wasn't actually real non-violence, because look how much violence he caused. Practically now, between India and Pakistan, there's war all the time. And they're on the brink of serious war. So where's the nonviolence? But still he's so famous because he had some sentiment towards nonviolence. They gave the Peace Award now. The Nobel Peace Prize went to Jimmy Carter. Because they want nonviolence, they want peace. But they want peace at the same time they maintain these slaughterhouses. And they're killing so many, millions and millions of animals. It's not peaceful for them. So where's the nonviolence? Truthfulness. To tell the truth, you have to know the truth, first of all. You can't speak the truth if you don't know what the truth is. If you ask someone to speak the truth and he doesn't know what the truth is, how can he speak it? And because the people in this world, they're completely in ignorance of the truth, they can't speak truth. Only a devotee can speak the truth because he knows the absolute truth. Then, freedom from anger. Yes. A devotee doesn't become angry because he knows that I'm the servant and I'm not the controller. Generally, people become angry because they think they're the controller, and then something doesn't work out the way they want. I remember I saw, there was, some years ago, there was a gas shortage, so they were waiting in line, the cars were stacked up, and someone was waiting, he was thinking, and now I'm only the eighth car before I get there. And someone came, he was a little bit negligent, and someone came and drove in front of him, and the man was furious. It was a big fight. Because he thought, I've got this under control. I'm number eight. Now this man came in. And the one who drove in, he knew what the rule. He knew he was supposed to go to the end. But he thought, no, I'm not going to go to the end. I'm going to go in the front. Everybody gets angry. They want to be the controller. But a devotee knows I'm not the controller. When he gets leukemia, he doesn't become angry. So, well, Krishna's will. I'm not in control. I guess he has some plan. He always has faith in Krishna's plan. The devotees wrote me from from Czech Republic recently. They had big floods, over 9 feet high water. And there was serious damage. And even the devotees' restaurants were seriously damaged. So they were writing, "What? How should we see this?" So we have to see that Krishna has a better plan. He always has a better plan. We don't know what that plan is, that better plan, but we have to have faith that Krishna's plan will be even better. And it's just the devotees, for example, they're always excited to see, well, let's see how Krishna solves this one. Just like when the cowherd boys, when they saw this gigantic, well, they didn't know what it was. It looked like a mountain cave. But they thought it might be a big serpent also. But their business was just to enjoy themselves because they were Krishna's friends. So as cowherd boys, they were carefree. They thought, well, let's go inside. Even if it is a big serpent and he tries to swallow us, when Krishna comes in, he won't be able to kill Krishna. Krishna will kill him. So let's go ahead. So they walked right in, and Krishna was watching his cowherd boyfriends walk right in the mouth of the serpent. It was Agasura. And sure enough, they walked inside. You know, children are always, especially young boys, they're always looking for some new adventure. So this was, I remember when I was a boy, we used to always do these, let's go to the graveyards at night, you know, do something adventurous. So this was their adventure. Let's go inside the mouth of the snake. So sure enough, then Krishna walked in, he went inside, and then Agasura swallowed him. He thought, now I'm going to... That's what snakes do. They simply swallow them and everyone dies inside. But Krishna didn't die. He burst out and killed the Agasura demon. So in the same way, the devotees, they just have this solid, complete faith that Krishna will protect them no matter what happens. Even if there's a forest fire. When the forest fire came, everyone just cried out for Krishna. Krishna, save us, Krishna. They didn't think about anyone else. Krishna, save us, Krishna. And he saved them. He swallowed the forest fire. So whatever it may be, we shouldn't fear. Now, that's why a devotee is fearless, because he knows, why should I be afraid? Krishna's right here. Prahlad Maharaj, he's so fearless in the face of the most horrible torture and danger, but he wasn't afraid because he saw the Lord was right there protecting him. So, go on to text 4. These are the demoniac qualities: pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness, and ignorance. Text 5. Transcendental qualities are conducive to liberation. Demoniac qualities make for bondage. But don't worry, O son of Pandu, you are born with the divine qualities. 6. O son of Prita, in this world there are two kinds of created beings. One is called the divine and the other demoniac. So are there any questions? Yes. How would we answer that? So they would say, so to repeat the question, someone was doing some big welfare work like, you know, Red Cross, and then he joins and becomes a devotee, and now he's criticized for just chanting and doing nothing when he was doing so much before. But actually, if you consider carefully, if let's say that someone is suffering and you, through your Red Cross, you patch him up again and he goes on living. How long will he live? How long will he go on in that body? Maybe a few more years. And then what will happen? Then he'll die again. He'll get diseased again. And he'll die. And then again, birth after birth after birth. So what have you done? You haven't done anything. But if you can take someone back to Godhead, if you can take him back to the spiritual world where he doesn't have to take birth or grow old or become diseased again. That's real Red Cross. That's the best cross. Because you've saved him from ever having to get diseased again. The other method is just stopgap. Temporarily. It's like if you go to a doctor and he says, well, you have terminal cancer, but we have some medicine. It'll prolong your life for about three extra days. Would you like it? You say, all right. Yeah, why not? I mean, it's nice, but it's not so comforting to know I'm just going to live three extra days. So even if you get saved by Red Cross, you can live a few more years. But what type of life is it also? It's a life of terror. Why not have a life, give people a life of bliss and knowledge? If you preach Krishna consciousness, you're giving people eternal bliss and knowledge. Now what can you do? What is the value of that? How can you compare anything to giving that? And not just to one person, but a big preacher, he preaches to thousands of people. And you can be a big preacher. You don't have to be, it doesn't depend on material education or material qualities. Simply enthusiasm. Utsaha nishchaya daryat. Just be eager to go out and preach Krishna consciousness. You become one of the great associates of Lord Chaitanya. You become a great empowered acharya just by preaching what you've heard. You don't have to make anything up. The scholars become disappointed when they hear that you're supposed to just say what you've heard. They don't like that. Oh, no. I want to exhibit my extraordinary intelligence. But no, a devotee, he doesn't try to exhibit his intelligence. He just presents what he's heard. But he becomes the most intelligent because what he's heard is what came from Krishna's lotus mouth, which is perfect intelligence. Doubts. Doubts are compared to demons. Should we be able to give a reasonable explanation? Logic, science. I like that question. Should we be able to give a logical, scientifically verifiable answer if someone doubts that? Well, therefore, they're not advised to read the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam immediately. Let them read Bhagavad Gita first. First read Bhagavad Gita, then the first 9 cantos of the Bhagavatam, then we'll discuss about Agasura. Okay? That'll keep you busy for a while. Bhagavad Gita. That's why the 10th canto is at the end. It's the smiling face. You can't go to the smiling face immediately. Anyone else? Yes. Yes. The question is, should they bother Krishna even on little things? They should bother Krishna on everything. But those things should be for his pleasure, not for our pleasure. Bothering him to serve him, not bothering him for my sense gratification. In other words, my Lord, now I'm going to try to clean this floor for you, but I know I'm incapable of doing a good job. But I beg you, please, kindly let me try my best and do a good job for you to please you. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki jai.